Okay, let's start over here. Parakhas Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says following, that we already went through a lot of the things that Shmuel and Avi was telling them about what the king was allowed to do with some, I guess you can call it the way that the Rambam understands it, right? Just, it's almost like a caveat. Like, yes, he's allowed to take your stuff, but according to the Rambam, he has to pay for it. It's not like he could just take it for free. It's got to do something for it. And Pasuk Yud Zayin, right, Shmuel Av, it says, Sonchem Ya'asor, he can take a tenth of your sheep, Atem to you lo lavadim, you will be his servants for anything he wants. You're going to cry out on that day because of the king that you chose for Asher Bachartem Lachem, that you chose for yourselves. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to answer you on that day. And it's interesting, the wording is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer you eventually, but not on that day. There will be no answer immediately. Unlike what he did right now, where they asked for a king and he answered them immediately and said, okay, here's what I'm going to give you. Here he says, no, you're not going to get an answer immediately at all. V'yamanua am lishmo b'kol shmo. The people refuse to listen to the voice of Shmo. V'yomru, lo, ki melech yalenu. No. He's going to be a melech, not a moshel. Not a ruler, not a person who's going to take apart all the things that we have and going to rule over us in a bad way. He's going to be a Moshe, a Melech, somebody who's going to spare us from the hardships that we've had up until this point. And that's what they expected. They said specifically, and that's how the Malvin puts it, not a tyrant, but a Melech itself. We were going to be like the other nations. Our king will judge us. And again, that was the problem that we had before. He'll go out in front of us and he'll wage our war. Now, granted, Shmuel, you've been awesome. There have been some great things that have happened up until now. You've done some amazing things. But there's been issues. We haven't finished a battle yet. It's not like these wars have been fought one-handedly, single-handedly, we'd be able to defeat. There were miracles that have happened, but we've lost a bunch. We need a general. We need somebody who's going to take charge. Somebody who's going to say, yes, I'm going to be the one who does this and that and the other. That's what we need, and we haven't had it yet. That was the line that they were trying to say. That's why they wanted somebody to go to war. So Shmuel heard the words of the people. He spoke them out in the name of, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not need it spoken to him, but similar to how Moshe Rabbeinu answered back in Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear from the Navi. So therefore he said it back. Shema b'kolam, listen to their voice. And give them a king. Go home. Because number one, Shmuel and Avi did not want them influencing his choice. That's the first thing that he wanted to worry about, and that's that. The Malbim and the Ralbag says they modified their stance a bit, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't say exactly what they wanted before. They didn't say Lanu, they didn't say Moshe. They said what they wanted. He said, because of that, I think it might be worth it. Now, I think they're asking for it in the right way, and therefore, we can go with this. We can do this. All right, Parak Tes. Vayish mi ben Yamin, Ushmo Kish, ben Aviel, ben Tzor, ben Bechoris, ben Afiach, ben Ish, shemini gibor chayo. There was a man from Binyamin, Sheva Binyamin. His name was Kish, son of Aviel, son of Tzor, son of Bechoris, son of Afiach, son of Binyamin, gibor chayo. Now, we don't know if this is Binyamin proper. Probably not, because we know the 10 kids of Binyamin, and one of those kids was not Afiach, or a Binyaminite, a well-known Binyaminite that was there. Now, let's go through this name a little bit over here. Number one, Aviel is also known as Ner. In Divrei Hayamim, he's known as Ner, and the reason why is because he lit candles in the dark alleys between his home and the Beis Medrash so that people would be able to find their way home if they were lost at night. They wouldn't have to worry about things when they was there at night. You'd always have a place to go itself. It mentions that he was from Sheva Binyamin. Now, it is interesting that he's chosen this way, and he's chosen as the guy who's going to be from Binyamin. Why would it be Binyamin over anybody else? Why would Binyamin have been chosen when they were obviously the youngest tribe, and Yehuda was already destined to be the king of Klal Yisrael? So Chazal give three different answers for this. Number one, they never bowed down to Esav. Binyamin never had the chance to bow down to Esav. Now, technically, Yosef did not do so as well. Although Yosef did see Esav, Binyamin was in Rachel's stomach and didn't bow down to Esav. So that's reason number one that's given. Number two, and that's brought by the Avar Benel. Number two, there was a promise. The promise is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Binyamin, this is in Bereishis and Lamed Hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov that there will be kings that come from your loins. And he meant from kids that have not been born yet. The only kid that wasn't born yet was Binyamin. And therefore, that applies to right over here. We're in the beginning of Parak Tes Pasuk Aleph. That's number two. Number three, Binyamin were the ones who jumped into the Yamsu first. Now, we all know the story of Nachshon ben Aminadav, right? Nachshon ben Aminadav jumping into the sea first. With Nachshon ben Aminadav, says the Medrash, were Shevet Binyamin at the same time. All of Shevet Binyamin and Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped in, and therefore, Binyamin was Zopah to get the very first king. That goes through. Number four, a possible fourth, and this is brought by the Me'am Lo'ez, is that Rachel's descendant, Rachel Imenu, was such a great person. It's possible that she also got this idea that since Rachel Imenu was such a tzaddikus and did everything she could to keep the family together, even though Yaakov had to marry Leah, therefore she was zochet to have a child who was going to be the first king of Klal Yisrael itself. But all that is for Binyamin itself. Pasuk Beis. Veloya Bein. This man Kish had a son, Ushmo Shol. I have not heard, maybe there is, and I just haven't heard it, a reason for the name Kish. Usually the names back then meant something. I don't know what the word Kish actually means to define it. The other names are pretty obvious. Aviel, my father is God, meaning he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was God. Tzur is also a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as in the Tzur, Mishalo, etc. Bechoras is in we're the firstborn. Klal Yisrael is considered the firstborn. Afiach, I don't quite get, but Piach HaKivshan considers like a burning. So that's similar to like, I guess, like burning a fire that he used to do that. Those I can get, but Kish, I have absolutely no idea. Literally the word is Kish ben Shehekish, also saying he knocked on the doors of the heavens to daven. That's mentioned by Mordechai. When we talk about Mordechai, Mordechai is known as Ben Kish, etc., and says the Targum Yonason right over there that Kish refers to that he was Hekish Dalso, said he knocked on the doors, but I don't know if that's referring to this Kish as well.
Could be the same Kish.
Yeah, very well could be. Veloya Ben, he had a child, Ushmo Shol. Bachor v'toyv, he was a young man and good. Now here's a big problem. He may have been a young man, but he definitely was older than Shmuel and Avi at the time. As we'll see, he had a 40-year-old son when he died. And if he was, let's say, 15 years old when he was born, that means right now he's at least 53 years old, which is older than Shmuel and Avi. But it's interesting to call him a Bachar. Maybe that meant because he wasn't a very young man at all, but he acted like a young man. He acted with Anivas humility as if he had nothing wrong at all. But Tovin, he was a good person. Vein Ishmi B'nei Yisrael told me, there was no one better than him in B'nei Yisrael, Mishichav Amalagavom Mikolam. From his shoulder and up, he was the tallest of all the people. And although that could be taken literally that he was the tallest person among there, it also means that he was greater than everybody else, especially in his anivus, which is a nice, almost like euphemistic way of saying it. He was the tallest guy there, meaning he was the most humble person there. It's almost like the exact opposite of what it was supposed to be over there. As we mentioned before, Shaul HaMelech found his wife at the Pelegesh Begiva festival. Remember where the girls were going out and Binyamin went to go find their wives? Shaul HaMelech was one of the guys who didn't go out, but a woman found him. That was the woman who he ended up taking as his wife. That was that over there. Okay, so that's that. The Seder Olam says he was 59 at this time over here, but he was full of strength and he was a great man in and of itself. Interesting to say, by the way, that there was no one in Bnei Yisrael that was as good as him. And David HaMelech is alive. He's just 38. He's still alive. We're not talking about a person who's disappeared. David HaMelech is for sure there. That's an amazing line. Vatovana ha'asonos l'kish avi Shol. They lost their female, the she donkeys, the female donkeys. Kish avi, the father of Shol, lost them. V'yamar kish al Shol, Shol v'no. He said to Shol, his son, kachno yitchas achamin aron, take one of the young lads, kum lech bakish asonos, and go search for whatever it's supposed to be over here. So Chazal say that he had a nevuah at this time, and not real nevuah, but almost like a small little nevuah. Kum, get yourself up. You are going to be the next king of Klal Yisrael. You're going to be the next king, and you're going to be the person who's going to be out there. That was almost like that. I'm sorry? She donkeys. It's like female donkeys, as opposed to an ason or a chamor, the regular chamor. Asona is usually referring to the female donkeys that are mentioned over here. Vayavor b'har Ephraim. So he went to Har Ephraim. Vayavor b'aretz Shalisha, and he went by the land of Shalish. V'lo matzu. He couldn't find them anywhere. Vayavru b'aretz Shalim, and he went to Shalim. V'ayin, they weren't there. Vayavor b'aretz Yemini v'lo matzu. Then he went throughout the land of Binyamin, right? And they couldn't find anything whatsoever. The Malbim says, if you look, it says Vayavor, Vayavor, Velo Matza'u, Vayavru, Vayavor. Do you see that? So sometimes they were separated from each other so they could cover more ground. Sometimes they were together. Says the Malbim, that's why it went from one to the other. Vayavor, Vayavru, Vayavor, Vayavru. Heman Bo Be'eretz Tzuf. They came to the land of Tzuf. V'sholom Arlen Ara, Sherimo. He said to the guy that was with him, L'chom v'neshuva pen yechta l'avimina son v'daglanu. Come, let's go back. Because now my father's going to stop worrying about the donkey. He's going to be worried about us. He's going to be worried about us over here. This shows, right over here, this is in Tosefta in Brachos. Tosefta Brachos, Perek Dalid, Mishnah, Tezayin. It shows the pure humility of Shaul HaMelech. He's talking to his nar, his lad. And he said, my father's going to forget the donkeys and worry about us. Not worry about me, worry about us. Because he mamish considered the Eved to be as chashuv to his father as he was himself, which is interesting in of itself. V'yomer lo, So now the lad said to him, he said, "Not Ish Elokim, but Yirazos." Listen, we're right around an area where there's a man of God. There's a Navi that lives in the city. But Ish Nechbad Kol Asher Yidaber Bo Yavo. He's very honorable. Everything he says comes true. Ata Neil Chasham, let's go there. Ula Yagid Lanu Estarkinu Asher Alachnu Ala. Maybe he'll be able to tell us the place where we're going to be able to go. Here, grab this one over here, Ali. But maybe he's going to tell us the place in which we're going. So it seems there were soothsayers around, because this doesn't seem like it was the only time that this ever happened or anything like that. It sounds like it sounds like there's something going on here that they were there. It is interesting. It is very interesting. But the main question was something other than that. Like, can you imagine? I don't mean to say it this way, but like, you lost your keys. So you're like, "Oh, don't worry, we got Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Let's go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky to go ask him where my keys are." But doesn't that sound ridiculous?
The man's a nubby. People actually do stuff like that.
doesn't that sound ridiculous?
It does. So that's what I'm saying. Nubby's a little bit different.
I get it if you're getting Eitzah, whatever, but this is not Eitzah. It's just like, I'm wondering where my donkeys are. That sounds strange. Why would you waste the Navi's time to do so? And here's the pshat. Shaul HaMelech was a Talmud Chacham, as well as being, obviously, a businessman with his father. The pshat was, they couldn't understand. Donkeys don't go that far. And when they do, they come right home. They were chasing them everywhere and they couldn't find them. Clearly something's wrong. What their idea was, and what the Nahr said to Shaul HaMelech, is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us in this extensive journey? Why in the world are we going in this place? Clearly something happened over here. This makes no sense. You have to tell us, is there something that we're missing here? And they were right. They were 100% right. There was something over here. Vayomer Shaul HaNahr. Shaul said to his Nahr, v'nei Nelech, let's go. But ma navi le'ish? What are we going to bring the man? Ki alecha mazal mikileinu, because we did lose our bread. Utshura in lahavi le'ish alekim. We don't have a gift to bring to the man of God. What do we have with us? Our rations are used up. We don't have anything. It must be there. Now, one thing over here. It shows that even if Shmuel HaNavi himself never took money, remember we talked about that? Shmuel HaNavi would go from city to city, would bring everything with him. He didn't even take a wagon or a donkey. He wouldn't take anything from anybody for judging people. And that's why his sons were blamed, because they took money, right? But he himself never took anything whatsoever. But Shaul HaMelech was under the impression that if you go to a Navi, you have to pay. You have to do something for him, that you'd have to give something back in order for him to do whatever it is. He was under that impression. So either, Rashi says, they thought he charged, but he really didn't. But other people did. That's number one. Or the Abarbanel says they didn't know the greatness of a Navi. That Naviim don't do such a thing. If you go to a Navi, the Navi will be able to tell you anything like that. But they didn't know such things. But it seems to me, against the Rambam. The Rambam, we mentioned before in Pirkei Avos, says Shmuel HaNavi was so great, he never took anything, and therefore no one should take any money for doing anything when it comes to Torah, mitzvos, etc. Because if you do, that's going against everything in the Torah, and there's no proof. To me, I always understood this right here as being, even if Shmuel HaNavi never took, Shaul HaMelech understood that's what people do. So it seems like that's a raya that people did take money for it, even back then, even if Shmuel HaNavi didn't.
But that could just be for his time.
It's very well, yeah, but it's just, there's a raya. There's a raya for something. Yeah, they needed something, and that was the way. It just seemed to me the most obvious thing in the world.
Whether if it was money or something,
yeah,
like,
I just can't believe you should know. The Rambam brings not this pasuk, but the next pasuk, right, as a proof that Shmuel HaNavi never took anything. Because look what it says. Yosef HaNar Lanos HaShol. The Nar continued to answer. Shol VaYomer. Hine Nimsi VaYodi Reva Shekel Kesef. I have a quarter shekel of Kesef. And Asati Li Shalokim. I'll give it to the man of God. V'Yigi Lanu Estarkenu. And he will tell us our way. Says the Rambam, that's such a small amount of money. Such an insignificant amount. Clearly, they didn't really have to do anything. It was just sort of like wasted time money that they would give. I don't know if that's a raya, that's not. But regardless, that's an idea behind it. At least they'll do that. But that is a reason, by the way, that whenever I do go to somebody that's like a tzaddik, and I ask for something or whatever it is, I always bring something, even if it's not like whatever it is, right? But there should be. If I would pay a therapist $180 to $250 to sit down with them, I wouldn't pay a rabbi like $20 to sit down with them, like a $36 gift certificate, you know, whatever, like, it just depending on what it is. But I think that seems to be the minimum. So he says, beforehand, in former times of Bnei Yisrael, this is what a person would say when he would go to inquire of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They say, let's go see the Roe, the seer. Kila Navi Ayomi Kori Lefanim Roa. The Navi that they used to call a Navi, a prophet, was then called a Roa. They were called a seer. Now, the reason why he was called a seer is, simply put, it seems like this. The Chasam Sofer says, a Roa sees greatness. A Navi is a preacher. From the words, Niv Sfasayim. The Navi got up there and prophesied to the people. The Roa saw things that you wanted him to see. Not always was a Roa a Navi, or a Navi a Roa. There were two different types of people, says the Chasam Sofer. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, times got worse. At the time, they didn't need Nevi'im because they weren't so bad. They just needed Roim. Right. But as time went on, then they needed Nevi'im to tell them that they were doing terrible things. Now, even at those times, we saw that during the times of the Shoftim, there were times for Nevi'im. But the Nevi'im weren't common. The Roim were common. The Nevi'im were not. And that's a very, very interesting contrast that the Chasam Sofer says over here.
The Ma'ariv says that this is just a semantics thing. Like in the olden days, they called the Navi a Roa, and today we call him a Navi.
For sure. That's the Pashup Shad. I don't think there's any question on that. I'm bringing on the Chasam Sofer that says, what does this word mean? He says this as well. It's a really unbelievable Chasam Sofer.
But that's interesting because in the Torah, Moshe is called a Navi explicitly.
Yeah, without a question. Without a question, it's called a Navi. Which means the people needed him.
But maybe also the word Navi was like Moshe's a Navi after this part.
Oh, making it special.
But then as time went on.
Same way that people never called their kids Moshe, according to the Maariv Tzlichas. If you look, there's an unbelievable Sefer HaChassidim, where Reuven Margolius writes, I think it's in the beginning, maybe page Chaf Beis, in which he says, if you look throughout Shas, you will never find a Moshe. All the way to the times of Rav Mesharshia Gaon, and he said, he quotes down Reuven Margolius, he says, Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Midrashim, nowhere is there a Moshe, right? Except for one guy, a guy by the name of Moshe Bar Atzri, who appears in the Gemara Baba Basra, Kuf Ayin Dalin Amin Aleph, and in Arachin, it's the same guy, Moshe Bar Atzvi, and he's in Am Aretz. The only Moshe in all of Shas is in Am Aretz.
But it was given,
and the Gemara is saying, so what it meant is that for many, many years, they considered the name Moshe to be sacrosanct. Like, it was so holy, you couldn't use it. So for many years, nobody would call themselves that. And even Reb Mesharshia Gaon, his real name was Moshe. But they nicknamed him Mesharshia so they wouldn't call him Moshe. But it is interesting. He goes on because he says there's no Avraham in all of Shas either. There's an Avram. Avram Choza in Gittin Daf Nun. It's the only one in all of Midrashim. But there are Yitzchaks, there are Yaakovs, and many of the Shvatim. You don't find an Usher. There is no Rev Usher throughout anything. There is no, there is interesting ones. There's like a Zvulun Ben Dun, who's a grandfather in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph. Some really interesting ones out there, but it's really, really interesting. So either way, over here it says the following. He says, and I want to say that this is interesting. This pasuk may not have been written until much later on. The idea is that this may have been added on by either Nussan and Gud. Shmuel and Avi wrote certain parts of Shmuel, and then it was finished at some point later on by Nussan and Avi and Gud Achoze. This may have been inserted later on, even though Shmuel had written everything up until now. That's possible. It's also possible that Yirmiyahu HaNavi put it in over here as well, that he put in this explanatory verse. And when it comes to Nevi'im, it's not as easy. By Torah, if anybody would put that in, we'd have real problems with it. We'd say, how in the world could that be? We'd have the Ibn Ezra, we'd have the Sforno to help explain certain things like that.
But there are some opinions that say the biblical critics have certain things that are there. Right.
Correct. I mean that in a good way. Right. There are Bible critics that do have that idea, and the Ibn Ezra is one of them. Ibn Ezra is one of those ideas. But this is a really interesting one, because this, for sure, within the Navi itself, it just doesn't fit. It seems to have been almost parenthetical that it's put in over here. And we've seen other psukim like this. We're going to see other psukim like this in the future as well. Pasuk Yod. Vayomer Shaul l'Aharon. Shaul said to his kid, Tov Divorcha. What you're saying is good. L'chu Ne'elcha. Let's go. Vayocha La'ir Asher Shama L'Yishukim. They went to the city. Says Pasuk Yod Al. Heima Olim B'mala Ya'ir. They were climbing up to the cities. They found these young girls going out to draw water. Do you see the row over here? They said it in a very succinct fashion, the way you're supposed to talk to girls if you're not married to them. Hayesh bazeh ro haroa. Is the roa here? What do they say? They answered them. And they said the following. Yesh, he surely is. He's right there before you. Maherata, quickly now. He came today to the city. Because there's a korban today being brought on the bama, you know, where the altar was and everything like that. It's not finished. When you come to the city, so you will find him. So right before he goes up to the bama, to eat. You should know, people don't eat until he actually gets there. He's going to bless the korban. And then afterward, everybody that's invited gets to eat. Ve'atalu, now, go up. That him, he's today, that's where you're going to find him today itself. Unbelievable, right? What an answer. What an unbelievable answer. So Chazal learned two things from this. Number one, girls talk a lot. That's an actual Mimer Chazal that girls talk a lot, and they bring it up, and they say that that's
unusually
the reason why.
Unusually long answer.
It says,
simple question.
But they said because of that. But there's another, the Gemara says something different. Yes, Pete Binney, that's cute. That? It's the Gemara. It's the Gemara that brings it down. I believe it's in, give me a second, hold on. It's a long Gemara that deals with this Tynus. I believe it's in Tynus. Right, like you could check it up. Yeah, do you see it in there?
It's brought down.
Yeah, it'll be right. Where's the Toldos? I don't know.
It's usually underneath. It's not there.
Oh, it's not there? Do you have it in there? You don't have the Toldos? Wait, it's got to be somebody who quotes this Gemara.
But you don't know where it is?
I think it's in Tynus. I told you I think it's in Tynus. It's around somewhere. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know why he's not quoting it from anywhere.
That is crazy.
Anyway, but they did do that, and they said exactly that. They went in and said as much as they could. And then it says, there's another answer. They saw Shaul's appearance. And they were so taken aback by how good-looking he was. They could not stop talking. They wanted to gaze at him a little bit further and something like that. It shows his almost like a greatness. We know about the inner things that the Medrash tells us, that he's the one that stole the Luchos from Gullius. He's the one that ran to Eli, go tell him what happened. We talked about his humility. We talked about other things. But we haven't talked about his pure good looks. He was unbelievably good looking. And that, Rav Avigdor Miller says in his Parish on Navi, is so unbelievably important. So unbelievably important, because you need a person who looks good to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Even though it sounds strange, come on, anybody could be a leader. And I get that. Liberally, anybody could be a leader of Klal Yisrael. But when you have a leader who looks as good as he does, that changes what everybody else thinks about him. Yeah, Ellie, what were you going to say?
I have it.
What, Gemara? Maybe it is there. All right, interesting. Thank you. Very, very good, Ellie. So it's right there. So, fine. We already talked about this. We never talked about the Shoftim being popular. We never talked about them having good looks or anything like that. But over here, we do have it over here, and that's interesting. Okay, that is that. We do mention this over and over and over again. We mentioned by Avshalom, Adoniyahu, David HaMelech, how good looking they were, how awesome they were, and that they were kingly in that way. There's another thing. There was Ruach HaKodesh that went to the girls over here. Although the Gemara sort of makes fun of them and said, see, they talk a lot because girls talk a lot. Once they started speaking, they answered the question. And they really, truly only wanted to say the word Yesh. And that was the answer, Yesh. And they should have stopped right there. That was a period. And that was that. Ruach HaKodesh entered their mouths at that moment, and they added on words without even thinking about it. And the reason why is because they wanted Shaul HaMelech to be king at exactly the right moment. And Shmuel HaNavi was walking by. He had to meet him at exactly the right moment. If he was a second off, it wouldn't have been the right time. So they delayed him just enough so that exactly at that moment that he walked inside. There's a great line from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was once, the Grizz was doing a wedding, and he tried putting a ring on top of the girl's finger, right? And it dropped, and he tried it again. The Chassan was trying to put it on her finger and dropped again, dropped the third time. So the Grizz picked up the Chassan, held his hand, and put the ring on top of the girl's finger. So they said to him afterward, the Talmidim that were there, they looked at him and they said, like, I don't understand.
Is that like a Shinoi?
Right. Is it, well, Chazakah? Is that a Chazakah that they shouldn't get married? The Grizz said, no, it's a Chazakah that they weren't supposed to get married at that moment. So Kadosh Baruch Hu delayed it so that it happened at the later moment.
Chazakah
that he's nervous is still good, right? But that's the idea that there's something there, and that's the idea, and that's what Yesh is. The Radak says that the only other time where you see the word Yesh is in Bamidbor when referencing the Anan Yakavod, because an Anan with Ruach HaKodesh went down to the girls so that they understood what they had to say exactly at that moment. It's pretty cool. Pasuk Yud Gimel, everyone. Kivoach HaMeir. When you go to the city, King Tim Zinoso, you are going to find him. Oh, I'm sorry, we already said that. We went over there as well. Oh, over here we do learn. You make a bracha when eating a korban. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidashem B'Sozvanu, Lechol Es HaZevach. Lechol Es HaZevach. You're supposed to actually make a bracha when eating a korban. Vayalu Eir. They got up to the city.
You make a bracha when you eat matzah, al-achilas,
matzah. 100%. And the korban pasach as well.
Al-achilas, al-achilas, al-achilas,
100%. You would have al-achilas chala? What do you mean?
Somebody is a kohen that eats challah.
The afrosha challah.
No.
Oh,
a kohen that eats challah.
Yeah, meaning the afrosha challah the person took off.
No, that's what you mean. When the kohen bakes the challah and eats it, after he makes some otzi, he makes a shirkshon and says, al achilat challah.
Right, well, but only for the afrosha, not for just any challah.
Right, afresh challah. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant when you take off the challah.
No. Yeah, vayalu ha'ir, right? As they send it up to the city, heima bayim b'soch ha'ir. They were walking in the city. V'nei Shmuel yotze l'kratz on la'al zavama. And again, Shmuel and Avi was right there, meeting them right exactly at that moment. Baruch Hashem, thanks to the girls, right? V'Hashem galas ozen Shmuel yom echad lifnei bo Shaul leimor. Hashem had already opened up the ears of Shmuel one day earlier before Shaul had come, saying the following: Ka'es machor at this time tomorrow. Time out. Nevi'im normally do not get a nevuah in the middle of a day. They get a nevuah at night. Moshe Rabbeinu got it during the day, but Shmuel and Avi never got it during the day itself. This was during the day because they're eating a korban, and the eating of the korban happened during the day itself. It could be eaten at night. There were certain things that could be eaten at night, but this is a bummer. I don't know what the halachos were regarding this.
When you say they got it at night, does it mean literally at night or when they were in a sleep sort of trance?
So that is an answer that the Rambam gives, that whenever you see something happens during the day, there was a sleep-like trance that allowed them to do it. And that must be what happened to Shmuel over here. It could also be a proof that Shmuel and Avi was a greater Navi than most other people, that Shmuel and Avi was attained a level of nevuah that others could not get, and even though it was during the day, he was still able to get it. It's a possibility. Right, but either way, here, pass that down, right over there. And he said the day before, "Ke'is machor eshlachei lecha ish meretz Binyamin." I'm going to send you a man from the land of Binyamin, who mashachto l'nagid al am Yisrael. You have to anoint him as prince over my people Israel. Boshias amim yapalishim. He will save my people from the hands of the Pelishim. Ke'isias amim ki ba'at akaso elai. I've seen my people's plight. Their screams have come up to me. That's what's going to happen. And therefore, this is the time that it's going to be. Notice, he said, "I'm going to make him nagid." Nagid al Am Yisrael. Nagid is not a melech. It's not a Moshe. He was never permanent. He was always supposed to be temporary. That was a raya that Shmuel and Avi knew something was going to happen to Shaul. He knew it from the beginning that he was never going to be the actual melech itself when it came down to it. He was going to be a caretaker king. And eventually, if he did everything right, he would lead into David HaMelech's reign, so that he would also be a leader. But he was never meant to be. Binyamin was never supposed to be the ultimate king in which Mashiach was going to come, etc. That was never meant to be him. Ushmuel ra'as Shaul. Shmuel saw Shaul at that moment. Hashem ano, and Hashem answered him at that moment and said, "He." This is the man who will restrain my people. Look at that word, Yatzor, the Ami. The word Otzer, not Otzer as an Aleph Vav Tzadi Reish, that's like a storage house, etc. But Atzar, Otzor Atzar Hashem is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped the womb of Avimelech. The word over here, Yatzor, means the point of any king is to restrain people from doing wrongdoing. He is supposed to be a leader, but not just a shofet or a rabbi or a Rosh Yeshiva, etc., who don't have the ability. A melech has to be harsh. And if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. He's the king and he can kill you. And even though that seems archaic, what do I mean? Just because I'm breaking Shabbos, I'm going to be killed? If the king feels that that's the wrong thing to do, yes, the king has the right to kill you. And the point of a king is to be otsar. He's supposed to be preventing the people from doing something bad. There is another explanation. He's going to restrain the plishtim from my people. But the idea is right there, right, to keep that type of peace, etc. But that's the idea. The idea is that's what a king has to do. And you can't question that. That's the power of a king, which is why nowadays when they ask, can I make the bracha that I would make on a king, on a person like President Trump? There's a big shaila on something like that. First of all, on President Trump altogether. But can you make it on a president anyway?
Rabbi says yes.
There are those that say
Rabbi
yes.
Rabbi first say no.
Rabbi first has for sure said no. Rabbi first has said no on every president because they don't have the power to kill. So they don't have that power.
A death sentence.
But I will tell you, in Eretz Yisrael, it's possible. I'm sorry? That's a good call, actually. But I will tell you that I know there are people, because they killed so many people, there are people that hold that the Pope has that power.
Why?
The Pope really has that power. Yeah, I don't know. But if I remember correctly, there was somebody in Eretz Yisrael who said, based on something that he knew, I don't know, whatever, that the Pope can, in theory, kill. I will tell you something cool. The Queen of England does have this power. Do you remember we looked this up, I think, last time? Queen of England technically has the power to send the people to war at any point and can have people put to death at any point. She doesn't use it, but it's there. Now, the president...
Well, that would be the Pope. A Pope has the absolute power in the Vatican and is declared infallible by the Church.
I wonder if he could say,
But the Church is against the death penalty. So.
I don't know. Well, but let's say he said it. Maybe it would be, yeah.
What does power mean? Because technically all these people can kill anybody.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I think that's where the machlokas lies. What really is the power of the president? Can the president really press a red button and kill everybody just on his own?
Well, like, he can authorize a military operation in another country.
On his own. Can he do that?
He can't declare war.
Without a court.
So and U.S. soil, no.
Yes,
yeah,
so that's interesting. Right. That's not the power.
Does it happen? That's not power. I'm sure it happens.
I don't know if it happens. No. I don't know if a president could do that. Yeah, because it would be too much.
Jordan.
Yeah, when you're dealing with Gaddafi or King Hussein, Saddam Hussein, yes, I think 100%. But think of in Jordan, you just gave the example, King Hussein's son. He caused the death of that journalist, right? Saudi Arabian. I'm sorry. The Saudi Arabia king. Was it King Hussein?
Yes. No. Saudi Arabia king.
Was it an American journalist?
Fa's son. King Salman's son,
yeah.
MBS, Mohammed bin Sultan, is the...
And he couldn't kill the guy straight out. He did it in a roundabout way, no, and he got in trouble for it.
He sent agents to Turkey to kill the guy at the embassy.
Yeah, so we see that means he doesn't have power. But you see, meaning he got away with it, but he doesn't have the power to do it. He just could do it.
Everything. So if the guy was in Saudi Arabia, he probably could have had it executed there. But it was
really? But it's outside.
Saudi Arabia executes a lot of people.
Yeah, so next trip? Next trip.
So I don't know about that.
But either way, that's it. That's the Ayatollah over here. It's
China,
said.
I think executes the most.
So
the whole
this pasuk over here, pasuk Yudches, bothers me so much. I just don't understand it. Vayigash Shaul Shmuel. Shaul came up to Shmuel. He approached Shmuel b'sol hashar, right by the gate. Vayomer hakinin ali eza beisaroa. Tell me, please, where is the house of the seer? Did Shaul not know who Shmuel Anavi was?
I've never seen him before.
I'm questioning this right now. Shaul HaMelech was for sure strong enough to be in the army, and he's between the age of 20 and 60, mm-hmm. which means he was in the army, and he was certainly there when they fought the Plishtim not that long ago, when Shmuel Anavi had the whole thing in Mitzvah and brought everybody together, and they had that huge miracle happen. How does
he should have been known?
No question everyone should have known Shmuel.
Two answers. Number one.
And he's been around for 50
there's
years.
There's thousands and thousands of soldiers. Even if Shmuel is standing all the way up in front and you're all the way in back.
All you need is one general. I cannot believe that you didn't know you didn't know the name of the Navi of Klal Yisrael, meaning the leader. He was the de facto leader of Klal Yisrael.
You know the name. I'm sure you knew the name.
I think he mamish knew what he looked like. Even back then, you think people didn't know the face of their king? The people didn't know the face of their whoever the
how
leader?
How would they know it unless somebody...
I think
they might paint
it.
The picture, but that king isn't... Shmuel wasn't a king.
I cannot
imagine. They didn't have coins with his face on.
You know what? Maybe you're right. It's possible.
But there
have
to be sculptures.
Just shocked
you
by it.
You live in a time where you literally, the face of the president is everywhere.
Yeah, I hear it. I'm just shocked by it. I'm just shocked. He didn't know him at all. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is. Maybe he was at the war and he saw Shmuel Anavi, but he couldn't see him close enough.
And
didn't expect this. Right. So maybe
he
didn't
know his name.
Yeah.
So why don't you just say, hey, do you know where Shmuel is?
Well, there's a respect to say where.
Yeah, he said Beisaroa. I'm okay with that. Beisaroa, that's what I would have said also. Where's the Rebbe's house? You know?
Like,
I would have done.
Like in a picture, but then you see him close up.
Yeah, I still would recognize him. But nowadays, I know with Rebbe cards, you know, my pack of Rebbe cards I have in my back pocket. So it may be a little bit different. I totally get that. I'm just saying, I cannot. One guy, I would say.
Signed Rebbe cards.
Oh, they're signed with a learn more Torah. That's all it says. So look at what it says, Pasuk Yotaz. Vayan Shmuel Ashol, Vayomer Anochi Aroa. Shmuel said to Shol, I am the seer. Come with me to the Bama. You're going to eat with me today. And then I'll send you away in the morning. I'll tell you everything that's in your heart. The Medrash says, Shmuel HaNavi had Gaiva. Shmuel HaNavi had Gaiva. Anochi Aroa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you call yourself a seer? Hold on. You call yourself a seer? I'll make sure you don't see. When he goes to anoint David HaMelech, he couldn't see David HaMelech, and that's what happened over here. Meaning, obviously, this is the slight. What else is he supposed to say, right? What he should have said is simply put, I am the man you're looking for, instead of I am the seer. He shouldn't have said Enochi Aroa, but that he lost something for it. As for the donkeys that are lost for you, I love this. This is like, you know, you go to the Mikubalim nowadays, they can do the same. Those donkeys that were lost, Hayom Shloshes Hayom, they've been lost for 3 days. Don't pay attention to them, don't care. Kinimtsu, they've already been found. Ulamiko Kamdes Yisrael, and listen, who has all the riches of Israel? Halo lecho, lecho beis avicha. Isn't it yours and your father's house anyway? Right there, Shaul Melech hinted, Shmuel and Avi hinted to Shaul, you're the king. You don't care about donkeys anymore. You will have everything you need. To which Shaul immediately caught it, because everybody knew that Shmuel and Avi was looking for a king. Everybody knew that already. Right? And as soon as he said, Halo lecha, Vayan Shaul Vayomer, Halo Binyamini Anochi, whoa, I'm from Binyamin, Miktani Shifti Yisrael, from the youngest Shevet and Bnei Yisrael, and from the smallest in number, we were just decimated not too long ago. We don't have that many people left. Mishpachti Atzir, Mikol Mishpachos Shifti Binyamin. My family is the youngest of all the families of Binyamin. Why would you even speak these words to me? Why would you do such a thing to me? How could you do that? This doesn't make any sense. I know Yaakov's bracha to Yehuda, that he's going to be the leader of Klal. Everybody's looking at Yehuda. Why are you looking at me? Shmuel took Shaul and his lad. He did not answer him. He brought them to the chamber. He put them in a place at the head of all the invitees. Can you imagine being that nar? You know, that young man who was with Shaul, he's just like, score. Like, sitting up front with everybody else. And the Hema Kishloshim, there were about 30 men there. Chazal say there's something with 30, and it's not in the Miam Lois. I didn't find it in the Malbim. The last time I did this, I remember something. I don't remember if it has to do with Sanhedrin or something. I don't remember what it is, but there's something to do with 30 that was important. I know And I know it's strange, but the gematria of Yehuda is 30. I don't know if that's on purpose or it's not. I have
but
no clue.
Says, it says Kishloshim is like 30.
Yeah,
not
even
exactly
that.
30.
I don't know. I don't know what the pshat is. I know there's something there. I just don't remember what it is. Vayomer Shmuel l'tabach. Shmuel said to the butcher, the cook, serve the portion. Remember that I gave you, telling you, keep it with you. He told them the day before, because again, Shmuel and Avi had been told the day before that the king was going to come. He set aside a special portion. When that portion was made, he made a public demonstration. That honorable piece that I set aside, it goes for him. Right, he took the leg, the halah, and everything that was on it. And he put it in front of Shaul HaMelech. Here is what remains. Right, whatever is put in front of you should eat. This time has been appointed for you. To say to the people that I invited, and they ate together at that moment. Why the thigh? Some say because it was the choice portion. Others say it's because he would be the support for Klal Yisrael. He would be the person who's going to support Klal Yisrael and to be able to take everything, and therefore we went ahead and do it. Normally, by a bama, right, by a korban shlamim, let's say, where everybody and the people are allowed to eat it, the shok and the choza, the chest, go to the kohanim. That's normally what happens by a shlamim. But this is a bama. This is not a mizbeach. And because it's a bama, that's not the law. The shlamim could be eaten by anybody, and there was no official choza of a shok.
When bamas were okay, was it okay to sheft an animal straight for chulin, or did you have to give
yeah,
a korban?
You could still do it as a chulin. Yeah, you could still do it. Although you should know, that's a machlokas, if I remember correctly, based on the pasuk in Re'eh. We're coming up to in Parshas Re'eh, whether or not you could do something for chulin without it being kadosh. There is, I don't remember if it's Rebbe, it's probably Rebbe Elazar ben Horkanus, who says that you can't do it unless it's a korban at certain times. He means in the midbar, and it could be extended to a bama as well. Vayashkimu, vayirzmi abama. And they went down from the bama to the city of Yedavrim Shol Alagag. He spoke with Shol on the roof itself. Now, we have no idea what this was. We have no clue. Rashi says this refers to Musar, and he taught him Yiras Shemayim, how to do Yiras Shemayim. The Malvim says, Sodas HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah itself, and that's what he taught him. We'll see that the exact same wording is used by David HaMelech, and my feeling, my gut feeling behind this is, it's a reference to where to build the base of Mikdash. Shmuel and Navi had a discussion with Shol and David HaMelech about where to put the base of Mikdash. We don't paskin like Shaul. We paskin like David HaMelech. David HaMelech felt it should be in Har Moriah. Shaul HaMelech said it should be on the highest mountain, physically, the highest mountain out there, and it should be on there, not on the highest spiritual mountain, and therefore it was put in somewhere else. David HaMelech paskin it should be in Har Moriah, even though it's not the highest physical mountain. It should be on the highest spiritual mountain, that's Har Moriah. I'm sorry? Yeah, so Shaul HaMelech was saying something else, and we don't know what he said, we don't know, but that's that, and that's why Alagag, meaning the rooftop, the highest point out there. Yashkimu, they got a pearl of Yik Halos HaShachar, and around Halos HaShachar, Yikor Shmuel Shaul HaGag, Leymor, Kuma, get up, Shalchaka, and then I'll send you off. They both went outside. They let out right over there. I guess this was a further demonstration, a public demonstration. He's getting up Halos HaShachar to go do so. I don't know halachically why this was mutter. Normally, we paskin that you're not allowed to daven we're not allowed to do anything else until you daven. So, how is he allowed to go up and do this in Halos HaShachar? Now, we paskin most of our halachos of davening from Navi. So, you can't tell me that we'll say, well, maybe they didn't have this halacha yet. That's how we paskin this.
We paskin it later on, post facto.
We paskin it by Chana. Chana's already
yeah, but
happened.
We don't actually pass until the Sanhedrin comes along and the Bais Sheni.
Still,
they use the examples.
I would learn from here that you could do something before Shacharis. Meaning, why didn't they take that and say, here's something that we can learn from over here? But nobody learns that way, which is strange. Maybe
yeah,
it's different.
Maybe if God's talking to you,
important.
Then you can do something
yeah,
before.
Maybe it's that important, right? And you go through it. It's just interesting. Hey, me yordan b'ksei ha'ir. They were descending near the outskirts of the city, Shmuel and Rashol. Emor l'nar v'yavor l'fneinu. Tell the nar to go in front of us. V'yavor, he went. V'atal mod kayom, you should stand your day v'ashmi achas d'var l'kim, and I'm going to tell you the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it could be that the youth was embarrassed to leave, and that's why he had to say specifically go ahead, and whatever it was, maybe he even understood it beforehand, and that's why he walked away beforehand. I'm not so sure exactly what it was when it referred to over here. Now, there's such things, and it's very interesting over here. I'm going to give you something over here. It seems that the reason why he did it at sunrise is because sunrise is a good omen to be able to start your malchus. Now, the Rashba talks about this. You're not allowed to do omens like that. You're not allowed to do nichush and like, oh, this is a good day to be able to start this, or this is a good time to be able to start that. That's called nichush, and that's also, or ma'onin, and that's something that's also from the Torah itself. So you're not allowed to do that. But there are certain symbols that you are allowed to do. For example, I mean, everybody on Rosh Hashanah, what do you do on Rosh Hashanah? Dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha loud and clear. Oh, and that's hard. Okay, but we do it. We have simanim, right? Why is that mutter? That's nichush, right? We should have a good year. We should have this and whatever it is. So there's a shalos tshuvas of Rashba that talks about it specifically. That says, why are we allowed to do superstitious things? There are different answers. One of the answers is whenever we're doing it for holy reasons, then you're allowed to do it, which is interesting in and of itself.
Holy reasons.
Yeah, the Rashba doesn't define it. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Rashba does define it with examples. But it's a huge Rashba. I believe it's Tuf Yud Dalet in Chelek Aleph. Huge. It's probably like 6 or 7 pages. It goes on and on and on. But yeah.
I know, like, my great-grandmother had a thing about moving on Tuesdays.
Well, yeah. Well, moving on certain dates. I don't know about days of the week, but the Sefer HaChassidim and his Tzava in the will brings certain dates that you're not allowed to move. I realized that the date that I moved into my new house, it was one of the dates, the Hebrew dates that was written in the Sefer HaChassidim and the Tzava. So we hold like the Noda Yehuda, which is interesting. The Noda Yehuda says that you don't have to listen to anything in the Tzavah because it was written for his children and not for anybody else. So we're not makbid on it. It's the Noda Yehuda. So most Litvaks hold that way. Most Hasidim hold the other way, right? But I tried to be makbid. What I did was I moved one thing earlier so that the moving already happened earlier, even though part of the moving happened on that
day.
You
should have done it later. You're finishing up after.
I will tell you, that day, it was a Friday when we did it. It was right before Shabbos. And that night, my fish tank flooded. And I lost 70 gallons of water in the basement. It all went through the ventilation system and got into the basement. I had a pool. It was nice. But it didn't work out as well as I wanted in the dream. Yeah.
She also had a thing with the red ribbon on the crib, too.
Don't talk to me about that. Perek Yud. Perek Yud. We'll start with this. Vayikach. And Pasuk Aleph. We'll start right over here. We'll go through a little bit. Vayikach Shmuel's Pakashem. And he took the jug of oil. Vayitoch Al Rosho. And he poured it on top of his head. Vayishakeu. And then, we don't know what this means. We don't know if he rubbed it on him or he kissed him. The word nashak obviously means to kiss, or does it mean rub on him in some way? Kadosh Baruch Hu has anointed you to be the prince right over here. Now, he did not do this publicly yet. And the reason why is because he wanted people to see the Urim Bitumim name him without it being already known who it was. Then they would think that it was, you know, already chosen, etc. He didn't want any collusion to be involved over here. That's number one why they didn't do it over here. Now, what did he do? He took a small amount of oil from a cruse that was inside, like, this little jug, and put it on top of his head. He drew the oil out with his finger around Shaul's head in a circle like a crown. Now, by David HaMelech, we're going to see it's going to be an X on top of his forehead. But here he drew it around like a crown itself. And this was done with a jug, not with a horn of oil. The horn of oil signifies permanence. This signifies temporary, that it was not going to last for so long. That's what it says in Megillah Daf Yudalam
now. Was this the balsam?
That's already Akash as well. Megillah Yudalam, there's Machlokas. Some say it was the Shemen HaMishcha, because Shaul HaMelech was a king from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not like the Yisrael kings. Others say, no, it was the balsamic oil, because he did not deserve to have the same thing over here, a parsenemy oil. It's really a parsenemy oil.
Yeravam ben Nevat was also from Hashem.
Correct. But Achia Shilinu was not told to do it, because it was already after Yehuda was promised they would keep the kingship forever. So that's that. Malvim says, Vayishakehu, the kiss that Shaul HaMelech gave him a new exalted status that allowed him to prophesy earlier. And although that sounds strange, we have the same concept of smicha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Sanhedrin, the 70 Zakenim, said he put it upon them so that they were able to prophesy. That's the exact same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did to them that Shmuel and Avi did over here as well. Okay, Beletcha Yomi Mavi. Now he gives him warnings. He says, when you leave me today, Umatasu Shnei Anashim in Kevuras Rachel, you're going to find two men by Kever Rachel. Bigvul Binyamin, right by the border of Binyamin, Betzeltzach, in the city called Tzeltzach. That is one of the reasons why we know that Kever Rachel is the place that we think it is today. Meaning, Kever Rachel itself is something that we have all the way back then. There's a Kever Rachel.
There's been a lot of exiles since
the story. Correct. But we do think that that is the same place, because the word Tzeltzach, that city of Tzeltzach, apparently still existed. They're going to say to you, those donkeys you were searching for, they've been found. Your father forgot about the donkeys. Now he's wondering about you. He's saying, what happened to my son itself? Now, over here, Tzil Tzach is an interesting word. It means the shadow of white. The shadow of white itself. It's a reference to Yerushalayim, that somehow Har Sinai was supposed to be white as a kala, etc. The Yerushalayim eventually will be white, etc. What that means is that it's supposed to be a very, very special time when everything's going to be there. Others say that it's not referring to a city. It's referring to a time of day when the shadows start to shorten, meaning the middle
winter.
Of the day. I'm sorry?
I was going to say winter, maybe
the
it
winter?
Snowed.
Daylight Shall savings. I? Oh, not bad. It was white all over the place. But high noon, it would be like high noon, right around there, where you can't really see your shadows anymore, where it's very tzach, it's considered like, I guess, thin and whatever it is. There are going to be allusions over here that also refer to a lot of things that are going to happen when it goes through here. Obviously, the Tomb of Rachel helps us with, remember we said why Binyamin was Zilcha to be able to become the king, and one of the reasons because of Rachel Imenu, this is one of the reasons why he became king in the first place. Okay, now we're going to get into what will happen to him. V'chalafta misham, this is Shmuel and Avi prophesying. You're going to leave there, V'hala, and you're going to go further. U'basad Elon Tavor, you're going to come to Elon Tavor. Matzeucha sham shlosha, and you're going to find three men, Olim Elohim, who are going up to worship God based El, that area of Beis El. Remember, the Mishkan was no longer officially in Beis El. It was separated. The Aron Kodesh is in one place, the rest of the Mishkan was in another place, but there was something of Beis El. Echanos is Shlosh Gdayim. One of them is going to carry three goats. Echanos is Shlosh Kikros Lechem, and one of them is going to carry three loaves of bread. Echanos is Nevel Yayin. One of them is going to carry a flask of wine. They're going to ask you for peace. They're going to give you two loaves of bread. You will take the bread from their hands. The Malbim says, the three goals of godly service in order to serve God correctly are the following. Number one, the three kids. You serve God l'shem shemayim like a child would. That's number one. Number two, the three loaves. Someone is rewarded. There's a person who goes in and serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in order to be rewarded with personal needs, everything he wants over here, like bread. And number three is wine. Someone who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and expects for something to be, I guess, to live a good life. To live a really good life, for everything to be happy. Those are the three types of godly service. So there are three different ways, and he's trying to tell him, you're going to take away. Since you're going to be king, you are going to get what you need in this world. And that's why he took the bread. He wouldn't take the wine, because he's not supposed to have overly, you know, more than what he should have. But it's going to be difficult to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'shem Shemayim as a king. It's going to be difficult for you to do. That was the line over here. Achar kein tavo givus elokim. Then afterward, you can come to the hill of God. Shosham nitzivi plishim. That's where you're going to find the princes of the plishim. They're going to be out there. Ve'ikivu achashama ir. When you come there to the city, ufagata chavol nevim, you're going to meet a group of prophets. Yordim yabam. They're coming down from an altar. V'lifneim nevo v'tofa chalil. And they have in front of them a harp and a drum and a flute, the kino and a guitar, the hema misnabim. And they're going to be prophesying in that place. At that point, pasuk vav, v'tzochel el ruach Hashem. You have a spirit. You'll prophesy with them, you'll turn into a completely different person. Now, who are these people? These people, these children, these men that were coming, were Talmidim of Shmuel and Avi, who were practicing, training to be able to get it over here. They were people who have been working for years to be able to become Nevi'im. They were in Navi school. In Navi school, trying to figure out how to be able to get in over there. Their prophesying was not the actual uttering of prophetic words. There was the act of preparing for the prophetic spirit, which meant they had to prepare themselves. They had to get themselves ready. The music was to get them in the right mood. The words that they were saying were words of Kiddusha. It was something to get themselves ready, to put themselves in a state of joy so that they could prophesy. You notice over here as well, that's what the Radak in Targum Yonos says. The Radak also, yeah.
No.
Well, hold on. The Radak says, the Plishtim were still in control. The holiness of the area made him prophesy, and there he saw his mission to get rid of the rest of the Plishtim. Although the Plishtim were defeated in the last war by Shmuel and Avi, they were still very much around, and they were still ready to fight at any point. That was going to be his mission. You're going to stand with the Nevi'im, you're going to prophesy about those Plishtim that you see on top of the hill itself, and that's that. That is that. Okay, there are some other ideas that are brought over here. The prophet's getting it. Suddenly he was able to get there. And we're going to end with this pasuk over here, pasuk Zion. Vaya, ki savona ha'osos ha'elelecha. When those signs come to you, osos lach, I'm sorry, ha'elelech, aselecha asher timsu yadecha, then you should do whatever you can. Ki elokim imach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Prepare appropriate garments. Get yourself ready. You're the king now. Get yourself ready for everything you need to do. When all these signs come true, it's not going to be immediate. It's going to take a little bit of time. But once it happens, you have to get yourself prepared. You can't go into the kingship with absolutely nothing. Get yourself prepared over here. And that's that. That's what you have to do. Chazal say that there's another remez over here, and it's a really sad one. The three kids, the three goats that he saw, represented his three sons who were going to die in war. The three loaves of bread that we refer to over here means everything that will fall from Binyamin. All the different people that are going to fall from Binyamin when Shaul HaMelech sinned, unfortunately, in chasing after David HaMelech and loses everything. And the wine is going to be the escape of David HaMelech. That David HaMelech was going to escape and become king. No matter what you do to try to get David HaMelech, it's never going to happen. That he prophesied for him what was going to be in the future of Shaul, that he couldn't escape from it. It just was what it was. But Shaul HaMelech has to understand what's going to happen over there. There are other things. The Parshas B'Sifri has another answer, but we'll stop with that for right now, guys. We're stopping on Pasuk Ches.